Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. What's on your mind today? Let's talk about it right now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's a great passage out of the book of Galatians, and it's very meaningful as we look and examine all the teaching that we hear on a day-to-day basis. Are we hearing the pure grace of God, or are we hearing the grace of God with additives? Because if we're hearing it with additives, then we're not really hearing the grace of God, and it's going to really wreck our faith in Jesus Christ. Well, here's what Paul had to say, starting in verse 6 of chapter 5 of the book of Galatians. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. So there's God's priority. There's the Christian life. Faith working through love. And then he says this, you were running well. You Galatians, you were running well. You had that. You knew that this whole thing was by grace through faith in Jesus. You knew that your faith in Jesus was manifesting itself in the fruit of love. You had that. And then somebody came in and threw you off track. Just threw a curveball. Just put a wrench in the whole system. He says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. And then he says this, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. If we let one little bit of legalism into the teaching concerning the grace of God, we're going to ruin the whole thing. It's just the way it is, and that's why Paul was tenacious in teaching the grace of God and the grace of God alone, because the grace of God is the only thing that saves us. It's the only thing that sustains us. As D. Martin Lloyd-Jones said in one of his sermons, it's grace in the beginning, grace in the middle, and grace at the end. It's grace, 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 grace. Yeah. That is the message. And if we start trying to add to the message of grace, if we start trying to add to Jesus, boy, we're going to make a mess of things. And Andrew, I know that's kind of your tagline, Jesus plus nothing, right? We really have to embrace that.
Yeah, Jesus plus nothing, 100% natural, no additives. And absolutely, the Galatian struggle here was start one way, finish another. Paul gave them the multiple choice quiz. You know, how did you receive the Spirit? And then after receiving the Spirit, how do you grow in Christ? And, you know, they were bombing that second question. Some of them were getting the salvation question correct, but they were bombing the daily living question. And so Paul's really socking it to them here. I mean, he's a bulldog. He's holding tightly to this bone, and he's not going to let go of it. And he's fighting for the truth of the gospel with no compromise. And, you know, that's what we're seeing in both chapter 5 and chapter 6, Bob, of Galatians here. He says a similar thing. He says that the only thing that matters is a new creation. And then he says the only thing that matters is faith working through love. And it's not the law, it's not circumcision, it's not rule keeping. As I've often said, it's not about rules, it's about letting Christ rule. And in fact, Paul uses those sort of expressions, you know, let Christ rule in your hearts, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. This sort of letting Christ rule within us, that's the way. I mean, don't make a mistake here. We're not talking about some chaotic life of sin. None of us desire sin. We hate sin. We're dead to sin. We're alive to God. This is not about some chaotic life of lawlessness. No. This is about letting Christ rule and expressing the fruit of the Spirit. So if you want to express the fruit of the Spirit, there's only one way to do that. And Romans 7 says we died to the law so that we might bear fruit for God. So this is about fruit bearing. And there's only one way to engage in fruit bearing, and that is under grace, tutored by the resurrected Christ living in us. Moses will not produce this fruit. It is not the fruit of the law. It's the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, well said, Andrew. And one of the, you know, getting back to this leaven thing, we allow these little specks of leaven in. We talk about baptism today. You need to be saved by Jesus and then baptized in water by, you know, a certain pastor and a certain denomination, and that's going to bring about salvation. Well, you let that baptism in, then you've just turned the whole grace of God into a work.
Yeah.
A lot of people struggle with this idea of tithing.
Yeah.
You know, they keep messing around with that issue of tithing. Am I supposed to tithe as a new covenant believer? And then they get all worried about, you know, the consequences if they don't. What if I don't tithe? You know, I didn't get that promotion. Maybe it's because I didn't tithe. My child got sick. Maybe it's because I didn't tithe. And we start asking those sorts of questions. Well, now we're adding tithing to the grace of God. We're saying that it's Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and my tithing that's going to bring about ultimate righteousness and ultimate acceptance before God. Now, I know there's a lot of people that will say, hey, why not give 10%? And they'll teach that. But I guarantee you, for those who are hearing it, they are hearing it as a little speck of leaven that is soon to leaven the entire lump. And what they thought was once the grace of God is now human effort and trying to live by those rules and regulations. So we need to be careful of what we teach and do what Paul did. Stick to the grace of God, Jesus only, 100% pure, no additives.
No additives. And Bob, as you were saying, from the pulpit, over the airwaves, everywhere there seems to be confusion and all too often deceptive teaching about giving. The hammer of tithing is frequently coming down really, really hard. But friends, what is the truth? What is the truth about this? Well, to help you understand this, we have a wonderful little gift for you. It's called Giving the New Covenant Way, and it's absolutely free. We want you to have it. It'll tell you everything that you need to know about giving. So Give the New Covenant Way, and request your copy right now when you go online to basicgospel.net. And we would love to have your support as well. Click donate if you can help us with a gift at this time to keep this good news coming. Well, it is Basic Gospel. It is the first half of the 3 p.m. hour. We'd love to hear from you. If you could get to a phone right now, 844-322-2742. It's wide open. We want you to pose your question on today's edition.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to San Diego and talk to our good friend Lucy. Hi, Lucy.
Hey, Lucy.
Hi. How are you today?
Doing wonderful. Good. Always nice to hear from you. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was asking about 2 Timothy 4:8. By just looking at that, it would appear that only, and I'm reading from William MacDonald, it's not enough to have kind thoughts about the Savior's return. The crown of righteousness is reserved for those who love it enough to let the truth mold their lives. It is not enough to hold the truth about his coming. The truth must hold us. I mean, I agree with that, but I don't, I'm wondering if it's limited, all the crowns.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought, I mean, in recent years, I haven't thought that any of the crowns were limited to anybody but believers.
Yeah. Well, Lucy, even though what you read there and quoted from, I mean, it sounds profound and it, you know, it offers us something to think about. I would say we have to be careful. Number one, it's, of course, it's not scripture. And number two, you know, it sets up a dichotomy. You've got a hold of the truth, but does the truth have a hold of you? And, you know, God never really speaks to us in that way. He never says, oh, there's a bunch of Christians who've got a hold of the truth, but the truth doesn't have a hold of them. And then you start wondering, well, am I one of those people? Do I have the truth, but the truth doesn't have me? And then we have this false dichotomy and this fear that comes out of nowhere. And then we think, am I going to get the crown? crown of righteousness? I don't know. I've fulfilled half of what that man said. I've got the truth, but the truth, maybe it doesn't have me. And, you know, the reality is that in the New Testament, there are a number of mentions of crowns, but they're all Jesus. They're all about Jesus. The crown of life, well, who is our life? Jesus is our life. The crown of righteousness, who is our righteousness? Jesus is our righteousness. And so, you know, Paul even talks about the Corinthian people, a church, a body of believers, as being a crown to him. This figurative language in the New Testament does not mean that we have to quake in our boots wondering, okay, I'm going to be saved for sure. Okay, I'm going to get to heaven, but maybe, just maybe, I won't have something to put on my head, so I'll be ashamed or embarrassed, or I'll have fewer crowns, lesser crowns than other believers. That's not the way that the New Testament talks about these crowns. In every case, these crowns are about Jesus being our righteousness, Jesus being our life. And so, you know, this is the inheritance of every believer. Every believer has been made into the righteousness of God. Every believer has Jesus as their life. And every believer can look forward to this very same thing that Paul is describing in 2 Timothy 4. So don't let a commentary trip you up. Don't let a false dichotomy of, oh, I've got the truth, but the truth doesn't have me. That is not scriptural. Let it just wash off of you and stay focused on the truth that does set you free, and that is that you have an inheritance. His name is Jesus, and you're not going to be experiencing a shortcoming of any kind. You've got the full inheritance, everything you need for life and godliness now and for eternity.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's something that I was thinking about as far as crowns. You know, that's an external adornment. It's something that we can see visibly, and it represents something. You see a queen wearing a crown or a king wearing a crown. It represents who they are. And as far as believers, we've already been given righteousness. We've been imputed the very righteousness of Christ. But in 1 John 3, it says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Now, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." And so that crown of righteousness is just the external adornment of what we already are in Christ. So when we appear with him, the world's going to recognize that the righteousness that he gave us the moment we believed, it was a reality. It wasn't something we were making up. It wasn't something that, you know, we just dreamed of, that it was a real thing. And at that point, we're going to adorn it. We're going to wear it for all to see. And so it's not an award for good behavior or that sort of thing. It's just making visible when Christ appears what we really are in Christ. We're fully alive in Jesus. We're totally righteous because of Jesus. And when he appears, that's going to be fully visible for all to see. And I think that's what Paul was talking about in his letter to Timothy.
Yeah, the other thing at the very end of this passage, as you look at it, you keep reading another sentence or two, and notice what he says. He says that the Lord will award to me on that day, and he says, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now, every believer can love his appearing. Every believer looks forward to the return of Christ, and that is at a gut level, a heart level. We know that our heart longs for physical resurrection. Our heart longs for rescue from this world. This is for every believer, to all who have loved his appearing. So certainly there's not levels. You don't level up like in a video game and get another crown and another crown. It's not like a video game. It's not about achievement. This is the inheritance, the righteousness that belongs to all believers.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yes.
I guess I made it sound like this would trip me up. No, I agree with you totally. I've studied with Basic Gospel and with you, Andrew Farley, with whom I was so happy to meet at Vacaville.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And but I am pretty much surrounded by at our Bible studies with people who are very much into rewards and
sure.
I always like to have my arrows,
yes.
my quiver full when I approach this subject. But I get some resentment too about it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we don't know if anything has tripped you up or not. It's just an equipping so that you're ready, as you said, you know, to be ready to give an answer for some of these things. Because you're right, the world is just flooded. We're inundated. The Christian world is inundated with this achieving system, and it really taints the way that we read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so thanks for your call today. Great to hear from
you. Well, thank you. It's so nice to talk to you again. Again, we were just thrilled to meet you, and we had an encounter with Ralph Harrison talking to him, and I said, oh, excuse me, but I have to go meet Andrew Farley.
Oh, well, we had a great time out there, and it was fun to see so many people who've connected with us. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, and the best day for the rest of the day for all of y'all there.
Well, thank you, Lucy.
You
always good to hear from you, and we appreciate that. Tell Doug hello, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again. And guys, her conversation really takes us right back to the top of the hour about this leavening the whole lump. If we think there's more that we need to do in order to get this crown of righteousness or this crown of life, then we're adding to Jesus. We're adding to the grace of God that's been poured out upon us already, the full measure of God's grace, the riches of God's grace that we already have in Christ Jesus. So this is just one of those things that we have to be aware of. And any time that we hear something that seems to be adding to the work of Christ, we really need to pay attention and find out if that's what's being taught. And if so, to reject it, just totally rejected. Why? Because it's going to mess us up. There are high cost of legalism as far as our relationship is concerned, what goes on the inside. And God wants us to be free, and the only place of freedom is fully in the grace of God.
Without question. Andrew Farley joins Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and me. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. It's still the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, and if you have a phone nearby and have a question, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Lisa wrote to us, and she says, I was talking to a Muslim friend who pointed out that Jesus came after Adam and Eve, but I said he was before because he was God or is God and was involved in creating man. Genesis 1:26 says, let us make man in our image. Is the us referring to the Holy Trinity, including Jesus?
Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly,
right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah, you know, you think about what Muslims believe about Jesus. For a number of years, I was a professor of linguistics at a couple of different universities, and people would come in from all over the world to study linguistics, and through that I got to know a lot of people from the Middle East and had conversations with them about Jesus. And you know, for those that are not familiar, I mean, they look at Jesus as a prophet, and they do not believe in the physical death and resurrection of Jesus. They sort of talk around that and say that he went straight to heaven as a prophet. And so it's interesting that when the enemy fabricates a belief system, there's a grain of truth in it. Here's Jesus. Oh, he's a good teacher. Here's Jesus. So he's a good person. He deserves his due. Let's pat him on the back. But when it comes to his divinity, well, they won't go for that. And when it comes to his death and resurrection, they don't go for that. So they just refer to him as a prophet. And so you're not going to, you know, you're not going to get a Muslim person most likely to agree with you about the identity and work of Jesus. But there's a number of times that, you know, Colossians says that the world was created through Jesus. When Jesus prays and talks with the Father, you know, the message there is we will come and we will make our abode in him. And there's a we and an us. And there's this talk of the Trinity. And that's true at creation as well. So, you know, the short answer, did Jesus create the world? Yes. Is Jesus God? Yes. And will Muslims agree with that? Of course not. No. But, you know, it's a very important aspect of what we believe, Bob, because Jesus is creator. Yeah. Jesus is God.
Yeah, and that's very important for us to really comprehend and believe and take our stand on. A recent survey talked about many evangelicals just thinking Jesus is the highest created being that God brought forth. And that's just not the case at all. And Jesus was pre-existent. He was with God, as it says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus talked to the Pharisees and said, before Abraham, I am. He talked about his pre-existence, the fact that he has always been and will always be the Alpha and Omega. So we can certainly count on what Jesus said and know that it's true, because he certainly was God in the flesh and is God.
Jesus is not a creation. He is the Creator.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Well, thank you for that question. Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia, and talk to Jesse listening to us on WDWD. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. What's on your mind today?
All right. Well, I've been a Christian for about 5 years now, and I became a Christian by reading the Bible, realizing my sin nature and understanding that Jesus paid the price for that and going directly to him for salvation. Later, I felt the need to be baptized. Now, my question is, of course, the Bible says that whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. All right, so my question is, there's this division in Christianity, of course, and has been ever since the beginning. Some think that baptism is part of salvation. Some don't. I know that I had a relationship with Jesus before I was baptized. I know he saved me before I was baptized, and he started answering my prayers before I was baptized. So my question is, all the sincere believers that believe that baptism is a part of their salvation, what's your opinion on that? Are they saved people, or what's your opinion?
Well, I think it's a mixed bag there. I mean, I just have to believe that as a confused Christian, as I was, that there are many other confused Christians out there. I think your heart and your mind are different things. And I think when we call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, that he honors that, and that he, you know, he stands at the door and knocks. And when we open the door, he promises to come in and live with us forever. And then, what, 20 minutes, 20 days, 20 months later, somebody says, you need to get baptized in water. And we say, well, that's a pastor saying that we've got to be baptized to be saved. So I'm going to go over there and do what they say. Well, does that, you know, if you're a sucker for the sales pitch of adding baptism on top now, does that somehow negate the indwelling of the Spirit? Does an unrenewed mind, does a Christian being wrong about an issue suddenly negate their salvation or cause them to lose it? Of course not. Now, you know, if someone is putting confidence in baptism from the beginning as the means by which they are saved, then my goodness, that is exactly like the Judaizers and what they were pushing on the people of Galatia. So I think you can't make a blanket statement. It comes down to individual hearts and what people are actually believing when they call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, or alternatively, look to something else.
Andrew, thank you for that great answer. Jesse, thank you for your call. We are out of time on this edition. Friends, thank you for joining us today. Remember, we need your help to keep the good news coming, so you can go online right now to basicgospel.net, click donate. We'd love for you to partner with us. In the meantime, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and all of us here at this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.